Now, with summer apparently on its way, scientists who study snow are obviously having to find ingenious new ways of studying what happens, and in particular, looking at the physics of avalanches, when snow cascades down a slope at up to 100 miles an hour. Luckily, they don't have to find a nice snowy mountain in which to do it. Natalie Vriend at the University of Cambridge's Centre for Mathematical Sciences simulates avalanches by using what looks like a big metal phone box leaning on its side. There are no glass walls to it, it's just a rectangular frame and a narrow conveyor belt on a slope. Planet Earth podcast presenter Sue Nelson went to see Natalie's experiment for herself and discovered something very familiar sliding down that slope, but rather than beautiful white snow, it was sand.
Both snow and sand are consisting of small particles. And these particles, when they start to move, they interact and collide with each other. And because of that, the physical processes that occur on this small scale are actually very similar. So we're doing our experiments with sand instead of snow.
Okay, well, can you demonstrate to me what you actually do? Can we turn this huge contraption, this conveyor belt of sand on?
Yes, of course, I'm happy to. I'm opening a valve that opens the sand flow. The sand is being let in at the top of the incline. The distance where the sand can avalanche is about 3 meters long. So we bring in sand at the top, and it starts to avalanche down.
Oh, yes, I can see now some of the sand coming out of a little tube at the top of the slope, which is just a bit higher than me, so it's a couple of meters high.
At this moment, the sand is not flowing very fast. What we can do is actually open the valve a little bit higher, so that the sand starts to come out in bigger quantities.
Oh, gosh, it looks like that's really interesting. It looks like your slope of sand, the central bit, now looks like a sort of flowing, molten river of sand.
Indeed. And if you look very carefully, you can see that the middle part is flowing very fast, but there's bits on the side, like dikes.
Yes, that's sort of turning round and not moving so much.
Exactly. And they're actually sand grains that are static.
And is that what happens when snow goes down a slope?
Yes, indeed. When a mass comes down a mountain, it goes the fastest in the middle, and the velocity goes further to zero towards the side. And therefore, if you look very carefully at deposits in the mountain, you can always see that the snow kind of carved its way through a deposit and left debris on the side.
How did you choose the angle of your slope?
The angle that avalanches usually occur is between 30 and 45 degrees. And that's actually pretty steep. It's much steeper than you would ever drive on. Let me change the flow rate right now, because then you can see some other features as well. Okay, what do you see
now? Oh, gosh,
that's
interesting. Instead of a flowing, free-flowing river, it was almost like a drop of treacle.
So in this case, because we reduced the flow rate, there's not enough sand coming through to form this continuous river. Because of that, the sand accumulates at the top of the incline and just starts to avalanche. The slope fails when there's a certain amount of sand available. So you get these intermittent avalanches, and they almost look like tongues going down the incline.
What do you hope to learn by studying this flow, this avalanche of sand? Because a certain amount is known already.
It is really difficult to understand exactly what's going on, because if you can imagine, if you have a flow of water down an incline, researchers know pretty good how to investigate water down an incline. If you have a solid material, the physical laws are very well understood as well. In this case, you have this odd mixture of different phases. As you look in the middle of the river of sand, it looks like a flowing stream, and it goes very fast, and there's a lot of motion going on. But if you look at the side of the river, it's static, and that's really hard to model. So the bigger picture is that we want to understand where the avalanches are going, how far they get, and how forceful and how big they are, what kind of pressures occur in them. The reason is that we want to understand where we can build buildings and roads and where it's safe for people to live. In the past, people relied on historical records, but they may not be very accurate anymore because the climate is changing. And the second reason is that not at every point in the world we have historical records. So we want to be able to model snow avalanches from a physical point of view to actually be able to apply to every valley and every mountainside in the world.
Natalie Reend from Cambridge University. And you can hear a longer version of that interview with Sue Nelson on the Planet Earth podcast. Find that on our website at thenakedscientist.com/planeteearth.